Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of VG Cast. I am your host, Daxter23Jack, aka Viv, and today I am joined by Ben.
Hey.
Aka BJK394. Cool Luck, aka Marcus.
Yeah.
Race.
Hey.
And last but not least, Chris.
It's me.
And Javi unfortunately won't be joining us this week because Pokemon took him from us. So
I thought we're
mourning his loss right now.
I think he's lost in the Wild West somewhere.
That's where the Pokemon Go meetup was. 1872 West Texas.
Nice.
Weird.
But we decided to play Time Splitters 2 this week, and here are our thoughts. So, just brief overview. How did everybody feel about the game?
Fun throwback. Like, obviously, it's older. Kind of feels closer to GoldenEye and Perfect Dark than like Call of Duty or something like that. But it's enjoyable. I mean, it has moments where it kind of gets held back by its adherence to the really, really outdated design, but overall, it's a lot of fun.
I'm not entirely sure. Like, I played a complete game. Time Splitters 2 feels like a disjointed collection of ideas of like, hey, what would be cool if we did this in this time period? Or like, yeah, like I want to do like a cyberpunk, but like, I guess we got to make it like a stealth or something, and. It's not only that, but then it's just like, okay, well, we have 5 months to do this, and then that was it. Like, pencils down, just turn in your work. It doesn't matter if it's done or fun or anything, just turn it in.
Yeah, some of the levels are really disjointed. Some I think work really well, and then there's other ones that are just like, wow, that was a thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like the main the story, quote unquote, is basically just something to encapsulate all these side adventures. So basically, you know, what is it at the beginning? Two space marines attack a occupied space station that's been occupied by aliens called Time Splitters, and Time Splitters have developed a time portal to go back in time and destroy humanity. So basically, one of the space marines stays behind to fight them back, and the other jumps into the portal, and they get sent into different time periods to collect time crystals, and in each one the space marine is turned into a different person from that time.
Conceptually great idea, narratively terribly executed.
Like, it is, yeah, like,
this is nonsense.
Yeah, it doesn't really make a ton of sense as to like, it took me a while to figure out that, like, oh, you're playing as, like, other people in that time period. But, yeah. It kind of seems like an excuse just to make, you know, a level set in, you know, Notre Dame, a level set in you know, cyberpunk future. That just seems like a small excuse just to stitch all this stuff together.
It's like Quantum Leap, the video game.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like
guns.
That.
But, like, Quantum Leap justifies it more.
Yeah, there's no justification. It's nonsense.
and like half of this, like sometimes the levels start out and like, okay, here's some context. Other times it's just like, go, just do it. But like, what am I supposed to do? Time crystal, you know, idiot. Like, but why? Like, isn't the opening scrawl even saying stuff like, oh yeah, the aliens won. Oh, we really fucked up. They want to like rub it in and like rub us out. But we're gonna stop them. But how? Don't worry about it. You're gonna go through like 9 levels. Have fun. It's nonsense. I don't understand why people have such like nostalgia for this. What's going on?
Well, I think single player wise, and that's it, right. We played the campaign, and this was back right at the time when internet was starting. But for the most part, like PS2, Xbox, GameCube era, like people weren't playing online shooters. They're still doing split screen, and this has a ton of like that content. You wanted to play with like, you know, 3 other buddies split screen, but man, like the single player stuff is wildly inconsistent. Doesn't make any sense. And but there's like 4 billion things you can unlock for multiplayer.
I think like the thing with the time crystals is like you have to get them to shut down the portal in the first place. Like that's kind of the overarching goal. So I get that, but yes, like there's nothing actually tying each level into the other one other than go get the time crystal. So you can stop them from time traveling, I guess.
But why did they time travel? Like they're not actively doing anything in the past. It's mostly just small time stuff that's happening. That, you know, it's like it's not feeding into anything larger. It's just like, oh hey, this dude in this old west town who's mining, like looking for these old aliens. That's about it.
Here's the opening level of GoldenEye.
Yeah.
I was gonna say like the first level, like it didn't capture me at all. I was just like, oh, Cold War. Stopping a biological weapon. This feels like every spy movie I've ever seen. And then I felt like by the time I got to like Notre Dame, I was like, okay, I feel like it's starting to get its own sense of identity. And yeah, I think I preferred the past, like the past levels, as opposed to the modern or the futuristic ones.
A Notre Dame level might have been the best in the game.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Also, the character that you play as, like the badass, like Harlequin, which kind of like doubles.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that, and I just playing with a shotgun that felt so much more enjoyable than like what is it? Like you're given a sniper rifle in the Cold War one, and at the Russian Dam, and I just like I didn't want to use it because like I was playing on. A Xbox copy of the game on my Xbox One, so it's probably better on PC, but just like trying to line up the reticle with like somebody's head so you can get a headshot on them was always a nightmare.
I actually read about that, like they had to patch the Xbox version of the game just to make it remotely playable because aiming was just like completely borked when they first made it backwards compatible.
Still pretty trash.
Is there a proper PC version of this game, though?
There's not.
Oh, there isn't. Oh shit! I assumed there was.
Yeah, you would think, especially with those controls. It's like, oh yeah, if I could just like point and click, this would be great. That was never a real option.
We got a Time Splitters 2 remastered on PC back in 2021.
It's a fan remaster.
Okay.
So there's no official PC release.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the remaster has... It's either missing the campaign or missing the multiplayer. It's one or the other. Probably missing the campaign.
Really? Well, you think it just implemented like online multiplayer? Because I can't imagine someone jumping on and being like, yeah, let me do some split screen in 2021 with my friends. It's Time Splitters.
I mean, that's what they thought with the GoldenEye port, so...
You can't... I think... And I enjoyed this game for the most part, and I also enjoyed replaying GoldenEye just recently. But
you're old, yeah. No, it makes sense.
Yeah, but playing these, it's like you can't recapture what those games were now. Like they don't make sense. There's nobody coming over to sit around on your TV and play 4-player split screen. For more than like 2 levels or 3 levels at this point, like it just doesn't, like that's just not how most people play games anymore. But we would sit around and play. I did not play Time Splitters 2 like this, but the original Time Splitters, just like friends would come over to my house and we would just like hang around and play that game for hours. Same with GoldenEye or Perfect Dark. Like
you have the cardboard board set up so you can look at somebody else's screen.
No, because like I mean, well, with GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, like playing on a 13-inch screen, like try and have a kid conceptualize that just in general, a 13-inch television, like what? That's like the size of my phone. What are you talking about? It's very hard to kind of like go back to this, or if you've never tried it before, kind of. Capture what made it special. It's a weird time frame, I think, for games.
I completely agree. I think both this and GoldenEye make a great case against video game preservation.
I mean,
I'm that far with you.
I definitely understand, like, it at a point it only kind of appeals to the older people who played the original, but I wouldn't go as far as to say it's like they shouldn't exist.
Yeah, I'm actually very happy that I can, like, I have GoldenEye now. I can play it on a modern console. That's nice. I have this. I could play this on, like, I don't know why I'd want to, maybe, in the future, go back to Time Splitters 2 again, but I can. It's there. I think that's nice to have.
The Daniel Craig Wii version just didn't do it for you, Chris?
No.
Yeah, I think my history with first-person shooters, I didn't really get into a first-person shooter until I played Call of Duty 4 on the PS3, and that was, I started playing it a year after it came out, so about, like, 2008. So this is, like, before my first kind of, like, immersion into the genre. So, like, when I first picked up this game, I was fighting the controls, and, like, I had to go into options, and thankfully they have a custom control thing. But, yeah, if there wasn't that, I think I would have been a lot more frustrated.
Yeah, I had to fiddle with the controls to make it playable, essentially. It is interesting that, like, my first real shooter was Halo, and this was on Xbox, so this was at the time of, like, Halo, and you know, Halo kind of blowing up and becoming huge. So there were good shooter controls out there. They just didn't implement them in this one.
What year was Halo? I should know that off the top of my head.
But... It was launch for the Xbox. It was like
2001.
Yeah, the year Xbox came out.
Yeah. This was a year later. And I think even after this, like, those controls didn't become standard for a little bit. Because I remember Killzone having, like, weird controls as well when that came out. So they were still learning how to do first-person shooters on console, I think, at this time.
I think it's stuff like this game that really sort of, you know, explains why Halo hit as hard as it did. Because they just got it right. So people were able to, you know, play the game. It was weird.
This is playable, like, for anybody. Like, instantly, you don't have to kind of really learn the controls and fiddle with them to make them work.
I remember an old review of, it was on IGN, it was an old review of Black. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember that shooter from, like, the
Criterion. 2000s.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you're right. I forget. That was the studio that did it. But they were one of the first people, first developers to kind of implement the dual stick shooter design. And the review just, like, I don't want to say bash the game, but, like, a lot of the heavy critiques were, like, this control style is just so weird and foreign. It just doesn't work. And then it became the standard.
That can't be right, because Black was pretty late in the PS2, like, lifespan. So I thought part of the whole thing was just like, oh, this looks pretty good. It doesn't really do much besides that, but it looks pretty good. And so, oh, like, yeah, Halo, right, 2 would have already have come out at that point.
It was 2006 when Black came out. I don't remember a whole lot about the discourse around it, though.
I just remember pretty. That was literally the only thing anyone ever said about that game to me.
Yeah. But okay. Well, maybe I'm remembering another game instead. Sorry if I got that wrong.
Yeah. It happens.
Was it the Jurassic Park game instead?
Oh, yeah, totally. No, I don't.
Is there a Jurassic Park first-person shooter?
Well, there's that one with the weird arm lady that I don't know I guess maybe it's technically a shooter. I never got that far into that game because it was a piece of trash. But it was not made well. And I feel like I've seen a few games recently by indie studios where, like, hey, we got one thing down, but we didn't really figure out, like, the basics of game design or gameplay. And it really, you know, it all falls apart like that. Something I want to ask y'all with this game, though, because I had a hard time with this game. The very punishing checkpoint system made it so it's just like, oh, like I had to start memorizing levels to know exactly what I needed to do and when I needed to pop out to shoot someone, because, you know, they're also not kind with health either. Sometimes they're a little too kind with armor, but most of the time I was just starving like all around. How did you guys do?
Yeah, that was definitely a rough point. That's very like just kind of like of the era though. Like I feel like a lot of games of that time just had really rough checkpointing systems in general. So it was definitely tricky. I think there's only like one or two per level, as far as I understand, that you have to kind of, you have to really memorize the level up to at least to the checkpoint or after it to really make any sort of progress in it.
Were there any objectives in here that like you could completely miss and then fail the level? So I think they all kind of ended with you need to get the time crystal and then that opens the portal.
Okay, so wait, before we have this discussion, difficulty wise, did you guys play normal or easy or hard?
Normal.
Yeah.
Normal.
Okay. Oh no, I'm not that sadistic. I played on easy. It was actually kind of fun because I was able to beat like the first level with no weapons. I was just able to punch people.
I also played on easy because I tried the first level on normal and I barely made it through. So I was like, I'm gonna bump it down.
I did go back and play the first level on normal too. The reason why I bring that up is on easy, you have fewer required objectives. So like you don't have to restore power to the elevator in the first level, for example. One thing that did throw me off was like when reading the briefing for the first level, it's just like, hey, if you destroy the communication relay, you'll have more free reign to explore the base. So it was like, oh, that's an optional objective. So I got to the end, I destroyed the alien, I grabbed the time crystal, and I'm like, where's the time portal? So I kept having to, I went back through the entire level, and I was just like, did the game glitch on me? And then I was just like, oh, no, you're supposed to get the time bombs and toss one up on the roof of the building and blow up the communication dish. And I'm like, oh, I thought you planted it like C4. I didn't even know you could throw it.
So the objectives are very similar to how GoldenEye is designed, where like the easy levels, the easy difficulty has less objectives. Normal has more. Hard has even more. So it's not just a matter of we're upping the damage that enemies do to you and lowering the damage you do to them. We are giving you more to do in the level, so it's a little more replayable. If you want to, you know, up the difficulty, but thought it was an interesting way of handling difficulty. It's not always super effective, but I was just wondering if you guys though had any that were like outright like if you missed an objective, did it fail the mission for you? Because like it. That happened recently with GoldenEye with me, where I was like, oh, I walked through a door and it's like, you failed the mission. I don't think you can in this because you have to get the time crystal and the portal has to open. So,
yeah. Go ahead, Marcus. Or was that Ben?
Yeah, I think you can because in the first level where you have to like shut down the power for something and there's like these auto turrets that sort of block your way. I think I like chucked something up there, and it instead of blowing up the turret, it blew up the like console that you use to activate the power, and that failed the mission for me.
So it does have like these weird fail states.
What was it? So in the Notre Dame level, you have to free the three like maidens that were kidnapped by the cult. And I freed the first two easy, but the third one was like suspended in a rope and like you grab like a pistol from like an enemy. So I'm like, oh, this is easy. I should just be able to shoot the rope and then she'll fall down and then she'll be able to get away. And then every time I did it, it ended up like killing her and saying mission failed. And I was just like, what? I thought I accidentally hit the girl, so I did it a couple of times, and I'm like, no, I'm definitely hitting the rope. I guess I'm not supposed to do that. And then I go upstairs, and it's just like, oh yeah, you're supposed to pull two ropes on the upper balcony, and one lowers her down.
It's not supposed to drop her 30 feet to her death.
They wasn't even that high. Maybe a broken leg, but it shouldn't have killed her.
You should just be thankful you saved her. I hear you, Dex.
You're still alive, lady. What's wrong? Yeah.
The hunchback, that was also just like really random. It's just like this hunchback you didn't even know was like, yeah, I've got a gun and we're going to get these maidens out of here. And then it's just like, okay, bye. Thank you for taking care of that. But it's just like, here, I'm going to leave you with this, total stranger. Thanks.
Yeah, Chris, I don't think there were any weird ones where it would make you fail and like, oh, shoot, I guess I needed to do it before I got to this point. But there were a lot of sort of like, I'm not going to say obscure, but just like, oh, well, I didn't think to do that, like on the prohibition level where you need to shoot all those liquor barrels. It wasn't till the end of the level when I'm like, OK, I got the time crystal, I'm running back. What's going on? And then I finally checked the menu, and it's like, oh yeah, you didn't do any of the barrels. But at that point, the enemies are just on an endless spawn until you get to that portal. So yeah, I was just running through the map trying to find any of these stupid barrels, you know, trying to conserve any ammo I could. I ran into that a bit. That stealth one in the future was really tough. Because I kept either getting just a little bit too close to who I was tracking, and then they turn around and shoot me, or like when we got to the little underground bunker and we had to get past the little laser lights, there's that other person who's there, so I would like be following her in, and then the other person would be like, oh, hey, I'm going to shoot you now. And then that aggroes the other one. And it was just, it was very frustrating, because I played it on PC, and so I had save states, because I need to use that for the second half of this game, because that was super annoying.
Understandable. I get it.
That's one thing I kind of like other than like the respawning enemies, you can basically sort of revisit the entire level if you need to. Like, you're not ever locked out of any part of it. That's kind of nice, but also kind of like disorienting at the same time. So you have to kind of go in with that same old school mindset, not like, you know, modern warfare or something where when you get past one place, the door blows up and you can never go back or something like that. So it's nice, but it's a little bit confusing.
Was I kept failing the level over and over again, simply because I didn't understand what to do. I think it was the Atom Smasher one where you're going through, you have to get the scientists to like defuse the bombs, and there's like a bomb in one of the side tunnels that you have to dump into a thing. And I kept missing that. I didn't even realize it was really there, because there's no button prompts that are like, do this. So I'm literally just running up and down a hallway for a while before it would just, the whole place would just explode and I'd fail the level. So I understand the weird, like, this shit happens and it makes it difficult.
I don't remember what time period it was, but the one that had like the native population shooting crossbows at you for some reason, because they needed it to be a gun still. There was that puzzle where you had to have all the faces like face each other. And it was so annoying, because there's like zero any sort of indicator of like, this is what you should be doing. You just have to like look around the area, and it's like, well, this is all I can do at this point. It took a long time. So at first I was like, okay, well, maybe they need to see, like, I need to have the symbol of the door needs to all be facing the door. Oh, shoot. Okay, maybe not that way. Maybe if I'm facing, like, the door, looking at the door at the other end of the symbols and have them all facing me. Like, I just tried a bunch of combinations because I'm like, I don't know what this game wants for me to do right now. And it wasn't until eventually it was just like, you maybe, like, just try to have them face each other in the room. But even as I'm doing it, I was just like, well, this can't be right. This is stupid. Why would it want me to do this? And then it works. And I'm like, this game sucks. I hate this. It told me nothing. I'm glad that it at least did that little picture to say that something happened, because otherwise I would have just kept fucking around in that room.
So earlier, Chris said the Hunchback of Notre Dame level was probably his favorite. Did you guys have a favorite level?
That one was mine too. I'm not really sure yeah. why. I just like the atmosphere, and of course, like the weapons were fun. The hunchback was like random, silly, and then you find the giant portal demon for absolutely no reason. That just comes out of literally nowhere. Like, oh, hi, I'm in this game now. You kill it and keep going like nothing happened, and then you like fight that like Jack the Ripper like kind of dude. So it's just like it's all over the place, but it's really fun.
Yeah, that was definitely my favorite too. I think it's because it's the one that's the most different, but it also kind of, I think it you kind of know what you're supposed to do. Like you rescue the maiden, you know, kill the like Jack the Ripper guy, the giant demon shows up. Like it's not like weird and obtuse like a lot of the other ones are. There's no like time limit like that bomb one where you have to like defuse the bombs. I think that's the one that just kind of works. Like, so much of this game is them just like throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. But I think that's the like one level that kind of stuck.
Yeah, I think it's the most cohesive and just like this it knows what it is from start to finish and just a fun level to play.
Mine was probably the Wild West level. Just because, like, you know, you go into town, there's a few dudes to kill, but it's not too much. It's not wave after wave of dudes. They're all just sort of placed around the level. So if you need to do it another time, it's like, oh, okay, I know that guy's going to be right around the corner in a window here. And then, like, the little bits, like, breaking out that lady from jail. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, you knew you would do something with the gunpowder that you pick up. And I had no idea it would be like that involved to go all the way around back after pushing the cart of dynamite up against the wall. Like stuff like that was like, okay, this is cool. Like I like that they let you play around at the level, explore, see what you need to do. And it all made logical sense of like, yep, gunpowder, TNT, all right. I think the only bit that like the reason I didn't try that initially was just because it's like it's a little barrel. There's no way it has that much gunpowder to go all this way, like down this alley and back towards the front. But outside of that, like the level itself made a ton of sense. I think even when you get to the like the mine area, it's like, okay, cool. You just run up, kill the dude, and then you can grab the crystal and peace out. Like there's really not too much beyond that. Again, you're pushing a cart down the end, but after you kill the dude, that's when the track switches and you know you can do that. And I think it was that coupled with there weren't a ton of aliens. I'm sure there's always aliens when you pick up the crystal, but in general, there weren't a ton of aliens that were really hard to kill. Some levels had that where it's just like, okay, I like, no. I earned this. Just let me finish the level now. Stop throwing super hard enemies at me.
Yeah, I agree. That was another good level.
I didn't even use the gunpowder. I just shot the cart and it worked.
Really? I tried that too. And I guess like I tried shooting specifically the TNT like little sticks of dynamite and that didn't do anything. So I was like, I guess I gotta light it with the lamp, you know, back inside the front of the building. I had no idea you could do it that other way. Did you use a specific gun?
I think I just used like the gun that you start with, the Magnum or whatever. But I mean, it took a few shots. Like it wasn't just like boom and it ignites.
Okay.
A handful of shots. Yeah.
Maybe that was the difference then. Because, yeah, I just shot at the once. I'm just, that must not be it.
So, yeah, I'm trying to think what else. I guess, did the music stand out to you guys at all, or was it kind of just your standard?
No.
I can't remember. I can't remember any theme from any of the levels.
I like the main menu music, but, yeah, I don't really remember much of the level music.
It just reminded me of, like, 90s hacker music, like 90s movies hacker music. It was nothing.
Okay. What about the voice acting? Serviceable enough, or was it cheesy at some point?
Absurd. It's all like, I mean, and some of it's just the writing is absurd itself, but the voice acting is just like way over the top.
What is it, the Russian soldiers at the beginning of the Cold War level was just like, oh my god, this is so bad. The accents were horrible.
Yeah, I didn't look deeply into it, but I also think that this might be before the time of us actually hiring decent voice actors for roles. Maybe not completely before, but I think it's probably a lot of the developers just doing voices as they once did years ago.
They're sounding like it.
Yeah, like they don't sound like they're professional voice actors.
That was the case with Perfect Dark, and this is a lot of the same team members. So yeah, that's probably the case.
Wait, the people at people at Rare came over to do to Eidos?
Was that they left? So it's Free Radical is the Time Splitters dev team, and a lot of them are made up of the people that made GoldenEye and Perfect Dark.
Okay.
Yeah, Eidos, I think, was just they were the publisher for this one. It's like Time Splitters 3, I think, was published by EA. So they were just Free Radical was just like licensing themselves out, getting publishing deals.
There was a Time Splitters 3?
Time Splitters Future Perfect, yeah.
Holy shit.
And they're working on a Time Splitters 4. Not Free Radical, because they don't exist anymore, but...
Then who?
I believe Embracer Group owns Time Splitters now. So they are working on a new Time Splitters game.
Is it being published by the Erasure Group, or?
So it's owned by Deep Silver owns Time Splitters, and they are owned by Embracer. So it would be published by Embracer, yeah.
Okay. Because they own everything now, it feels
yes,
like.
Yes, they everything. Like, if you have a favorite old game series, the likelihood is Embracer has bought it.
The level sort of, you know, like just the idea of the different time periods and here you're doing a different thing in each one really reminded me of Eternal Darkness, but like I like that game way more than this game, even though some bits of it were a little more retready than this game was, especially as you're like going back into the main mansion as the game progressed. I just felt like that the idea of going through time and the narrative sort of conceit they used to do that made a lot more sense, and because it was following this like sort of familial through line, there was a little bit more of something to latch onto. And I guess it doesn't help that like the whole Cthulhu, old Gaudi thing that they had going on was a little bit more interesting than, I guess, aliens? Just this random space alien-like race? Yeah, it was just like, okay. I mean, I think part of it is that those aliens didn't, like, say anything or do anything. They were just there and being assholes.
Yeah, they just chase you.
Yeah.
Shoot at you.
But, like, some of those cut scenes, especially at the beginning of levels, was... the cartoony like O faces that they were doing, I was just like, oh yeah, I can. This is definitely like this era of game, and like I can see like where Eternal Darkness did similar cutscenes. They're quote unquote pre-rendered cutscenes. It's just I don't know, man. It's just one of those things where it's like, yep, cool. Like it's games like this that make me look at the stuff we have now. I'm like, oh yeah, man. Like games have come so far. Like these are so much more involved and like. When someone's trying to do something, when they have like a gameplay like gimmick or mechanic that they're trying to use, it really feels like they're able to flesh those out now. And when it doesn't happen, it sticks out even more like a sore thumb.
Yeah, Time Splitters 2 kind of feels like game concept, the jam disc or something. Like we have like 10 different games that we want to have, but we don't. We just put our different teams, like, you know, 10 people over here, 10 people over here. All of these make your coolest game. And then they just put it together with this, like, absurd storyline that wraps around it.
And they did have that, like, and the hard rule is you will have to shoot. You'll need to shoot a gun. It doesn't matter what kind of level you want to do. You're going to have to make the player shoot a weapon. And that's where it felt like some of those other ones, like the Aztec Ruins or the that stealth future one, they like, okay, I guess we still have to end up coming back and shooting things instead of just doing puzzles or whatever we're trying to do here.
I do kind of love that it was like a crossbow that made zero sense. It's so
that
dumb.
You could shoot multiples. Like, it was great. I was like shooting three arrows at once. I was like, what's going on? What is
so
this?
so goofy?
Oh, and the fact that that population added is like what? Like we need to study these people more because they have some amazing tech. Oh, that and those monkeys were assholes. How do they have grenades?
I mean,
I think the asshole monkeys are like kind of a time splitter feature, though.
Oh, really? That's like a series staple.
Something that's I remember from playing the first one, and there were monkeys that were assholes there too. That would throw shit.
They're basically like a mascot character.
Yeah,
like they stick out a lot more in multiplayer.
Wait, were they an odd job in multiplayer?
That I don't know. That would be great.
I mean, there's like a bunch of like different variations of them in multiplayer versus single player. They don't really show up that much.
I'm just thinking of the what is it, the Odd Job parody from Austin Powers with the shoe, but it's a monkey instead. It's their weapon in multiplayer.
That'd be nice. So, as far as the visuals in this, for that was one thing that's for me, like especially playing on a PC where I could tell that the resolution had been upped a bit. I'm sure some of the Xbox ones have similar treatment, but like, how do you think this holds up to the games of that era? Like, I don't know if this is good, is this middling? Like, I couldn't tell you.
Fine. For when it came out, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't think it was like, even when it came out, I don't think it would have been amazing, really.
Wasn't winning awards?
I mean, it maybe scored very well. Metacritic has it as like 88 on GameCube, 90 on PS2, 88 on Xbox. So at the time, very well regarded.
Yeah, and there was a ton of nostalgia for this game. I think it was like, especially towards the end of that generation, it was on a lot of, top 25 best GameCube games or top 25 best Xbox games. So it definitely has a cult following.
It won. One GameSpot's best shooter on GameCube that year, and it was nominated for best shooter on Xbox, but lost to Mech Assault per the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, the character models are kind of like exaggerated, but they still look fine. Like they don't stick out as much as like we kind of mentioned earlier briefly, GoldenEye on Wii. Like those characters are supposed to look realistic, and they just look like, you know, Play-Doh people. So it's kind of like having the Time Splitters characters more like, they're more exaggerated, they're more cartoony, but that's the point. Like, they stick out a lot more as far as, like, this is a fun video game, not this is people trying to make realistic character models that look like they belong in, like, PS1 games.
Fair. Yeah. Well, are we ready to give our closing thoughts on the game?
Sure.
Okay. Like I said, I think this is just a game so much from its era. It's acting as a bit of that bridge between the old GoldenEye and your more modern FPS shooters. Because it was just sort of like as the genre was evolving. People are trying a little bit different things, branching out just a bit. I feel like this is one of those sort of examples of like, maybe stick back towards the older stuff a little bit more. Like, don't, if you're not going to go completely into the twin sticks, like space, the dual analog space, like that, it's fine. You don't have to try. As far as a game though, it's like, I don't think I had a great time with the game. Like, it definitely had its moments and it was cool to like see some stuff, but it was such an exercise in frustration that, you know, it's another one of those changes in games, just the like, yeah, sure, you know, a nice checkpoint, forgiving checkpoints, but also being able to save whenever you want. Let me like save, stop this, go back and come back later and play the game and see what's up. Like, especially if you get through a hard fight and you got no health, it's like, well, I might as well just kill myself now, because like, I'm not gonna get past the next room. There's always moments I was running into with this game. I don't have the nostalgia for any of this era of shooter. I did play GoldenEye growing up, and that was fun for what it was, but it was never like my golden goose. I didn't I didn't have a bunch of friends, like, that's what we would play. Even in that era, we were just, like, playing the Mario games. We were playing Tony Hawk. Like, we never really gravitated towards GoldenEye. So that stuff, like, really doesn't mean much to me now. Time splitters as a concept, like Chris said, is something that I thought was cool. Like, just hearing, like, the broad wiki version, I was like, oh, okay, this could be really cool. And then seeing the game do nothing with that was really disappointing. So if it does indeed come back and it's not just a remake or some, like, reboot that completely misses the point of what the original games were wanting to be, I'm pretty interested to see that, but I don't want a game that plays like this. I'm good.
Hope that if they were to, when they bring it back, that they're, it feels modern. I mean, you can certainly do, like, the big multiplayer nonsense that they do, but I think they have to have a concept that kind of ties together and works, and it needs to play like a modern shooter. Certainly can't play like this now. Can't have the wonky first person shooting aiming controls.
But I do wonder if they'll do stuff like, you know, like how Doom does now, where you're not really, some guns let you like aim down the sights, but that's really not what the point of Doom is. It's all about cycling through the weapons and using them for the situation that you're in. And I could see them, you know, saying like, hey, we're reviving an old game, like we want it to play more like that, where you don't have to worry about trying to aim down the sight and getting an angle. It's like, we want you to just like run through this level and play with the tools that we're giving you. I don't know what Time Splitters would do when it comes back, like how and what form they would choose to bring it back.
I think conceptually you could do multiple things, right? Because like the idea of Time Splitters is that it can be all these different things, and
right,
you can have all these different types of levels, and it doesn't necessarily just need to, like this game, like everything needs to be a gun. You could work around that and make cool things. And they now have, you know, 21 years of gaming to kind of build off of that. They can, I think, make the ultimate Time Splitters game now, maybe.
What about you, Chris?
I absolutely have the nostalgia there. Like I've mentioned, GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, and after those two, Time Splitters 2 was probably one of the first console shooters I played after the early like Nintendo 64 era. So I was like, wow, this is like those games, but better, you know, at that time. Going back to it now, it was still a lot of fun. Obviously, it starts to show its age a little bit in both like design, like map design, and just sort of overall like game design. Like the objectives are never really clear cut. The controls obviously need some work. But overall, I still enjoyed my time with it. It's just kind of, I kind of agree, like looking forward, you know, where is Time Splitters going to go? Like, obviously, they can't just make another Time Splitters 2 and that still fly today. It would be completely savaged. But I do like the allusion to like Doom. You just get weapons and you run through, and you can't use cover, but you're not really like ever pushed in that direction. Like you're just more like, hey, here's a bunch of dudes, go kill them. Like Time Splitters could definitely work like that, but of course it needs to have its own identity at the same time, so the time travel thing would definitely work there in its favor. So kind of putting the concepts together, the old concepts with the new gameplay, that's kind of where I want to see the series go, because it's still enjoyable today, but it could be something really great if they push it into this current era, for lack of a better way to say it.
Yeah. For me, I think it's games definitely shows its age. I don't think it's super fun to play modern day, but I think I can see why it was such a big deal at the time. And I also think like bringing Time Splitters back could be really, really interesting. There's like so many multiplayer games take themselves like super seriously, and if they just lean into like the goofiness of it, like a really silly, weird, absurd shooter, I think they could have something really, really interesting as far as like a modern day time splitters go.
Cool. Yeah. As mentioned earlier, I didn't really get into FPS games until later in the 2000s with Call of Duty 4, so I didn't really have any nostalgia attached to this game. That said, I think I ended up liking it more than I thought I would. My first play session, I think I played for like 10, 15 minutes, and I felt like I was fighting the controls, and then, you know, it's like I was in the beginning of the opening cutscene, and, you know, my wife needed me, so I tried pausing the game, but it skipped the cutscene, and I couldn't access the first cutscene. I figured out there's an option for it later on in the menus, but just overall bad first impression. I didn't know if I was even going to return, but then after I put it back in and played it a second time, I ended up kind of getting into the flow, and yeah, it's definitely got some dated elements, but I don't know. Like, just being able to do stuff like play the first level, just punching people and doing stealth attacks was pretty fun. So, yeah, overall, liked it a lot more than I thought I would. But, yeah, that's Time Splitters 2. And, yeah, for our next recording...
What's Chris's thoughts?
Oh, I thought
mine were already out there, but I kind of infringed on yours, Marcus, but...
Yeah, no, that's why I thought Chris had already gone. I thought you just jumped on top of Marcus's thoughts and kind of built on them.
I enjoyed going back to it. Like, I can see where people that did not play it or don't have a nostalgia for this time period of games or this type of game from then, like, would be like, this is weird. But I enjoyed our return to 2002. Unfortunately, I did not have, like, you know, three friends to come over and plug their controllers in, but it was a good time to kind of revisit. Do want to mention that this game, which is 23 years old, has more content in it than Halo Infinite currently. So there's 16 maps in this game, 128 different characters, 16 different game modes. It is loaded.
That's part of what I'm a little concerned about with it coming back, because with higher fidelity, you know, it needs more resources to actually develop content for. And yeah. So I wonder, it's like, would you really be able to go to as many time periods in a modern day time splitters, or they would not, like, would they not have enough budget to do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess we'll find out when Embracer finally brings it back. I hope they would. Like, I think that this game only has, what, 9, 10 levels? Like, it's not a giant game. Like, it doesn't take very long to finish.
If you're good. Yeah. It took me a little bit longer than the 4 hours y'all got.
I mean, but, like, how much longer?
Man, like, 2 more hours than that.
Like, yeah, like, 6 yeah. hours is still pretty short game.
Yeah, fair.
Comparatively to games today. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. You're probably right, because, like, you know, a lot of games reuse assets, and this very much doesn't, right? Because you have Chicago in what, the 1930s. You have Notre Dame in the 1800s. The Wild West. Like, they're all wildly different locales for the most part. So you wouldn't be sharing a lot of assets. So yeah, I don't know. Hope for the best with it. Be nice to have a cool game that does time travel, and the concept is really there. It's there. It could be fun. But...
Yeah, no, I get together at like a huge game jam every, have a couple of people design each level and just, you know, throw it all at the board and see what sticks. I mean,
they already did that, though. We just played it.
Yeah, but like 21 years worth of, you know, innovations and upgrades. I'm sure they can come up with, they can make it more cohesive, right?
Or we're just gonna get a bunch of gear we have to level up and.
Oh Jesus, no!
I mean, I will say that Time Splitters Future Perfect does have a much more involved and cohesive story than two. Like they were definitely getting there, kind of got cut short.
Well, and Grace, and you're probably maybe the only other one that knows, but the original Time Splitters, like that campaign is like not even a campaign. Like,
yeah, no, there's absolutely zero story. It's like
here's a level, and go. Like there's no reason to anything in the original Time Splitters. So.
Yeah, I still haven't finished it, but I played the first few levels, and it literally is just that. Like, okay, it's like an arcade game at that point. Like, you're just going through levels until you finish them. No rhyme or reason. You just get it done.
I'll have to try Future Perfect. That's one I have never played. So
I like it. I played it shortly after Time Splitters 2. Like, they were both out, I think, when I played them both, and it's really fun. It's more modern. Like, the controls are updated, closer to modern shooters. I mean, maybe not like there yet, but they're a lot better than Time Splitters 2. And there's a lot more story content to it, so it's definitely closer to kind of what I think some of us were hoping for.
Cool.
I'm still gonna wait for that reboot though, or sequel or whatever. Like, I don't know. At this point, I'm just like, I don't know if I want to try Future Perfect right now.
It's still an old game, so of course.
Yeah.
It's not like quite what you would hope for from a newer game, like, you know, a new Time Splitters, but it's definitely got a bump to like everything that was kind of missing, so to speak, from 1 and 2.
Gotcha. Well, hopefully it plays like Haze, the best game.
The game that killed them.
All right.
So what are we playing next time? Tell me, Dax.
Well, Grace will tell us.
Yeah,
Dax,
sorry.
No, I need you to tell me.
I can type it in there. I can read it. So we have.
Yeah, I don't know. Grace has been playing a lot of Ratchet and Clank, so maybe something from that series.
No, we already did that.
I did not put a single one of those games on there, but mostly because I've already played them. Like I would have to replay some of them at this point. Anyway, so last time we had 5 options. Is that kind of a golden number, or should we keep it 4? Maybe.
And whatever you want, Grace.
Oh, I have like 6, but I'm not going to put all 6 of them. I'll just put like 5.
It's paralysis. Come on.
I like how the only way to keep up with the amount of games that Chris plays is to be unemployed with no children. That is the only way. I do not understand how you do it, Chris. And then you layer movies and TV on top of that. It's insane.
You don't sleep? Get chronic insomnia. Like that'll do it.
I guess. But you know the cure for chronic insomnia. It's just chronic.
I don't get it.
Not a bad thought. Oh, all right. Okay, somebody want to read out the choices?
I thought we were
that would make for a good podcast.
I thought this all gets edited out anyways.
Oh no, I just leave everything in.
Oh no.
Wow, okay. I guess you haven't listened to a single episode, Marcus. I guess you don't like hearing your own voice.
I really don't.
I edit out a lot of the dead air, but...
Okay, I'm just going to read them.
Yep.
Get the train rolling. We have Oddworld Soulstorm, Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare, Ninja Gaiden Sigma, Jet Force Gemini, and The Wolf Among Us.
We vote twice?
Yeah.
I will use my
And Grace Soulstorm, is that the newest one? What is that one?
Yeah, that's the newest one. It's kind of like a reimagining of the second game. So it's not it's new, but it's not entirely new, I guess.
Gotcha. Well, I think I know what we're doing. But
adding reactions is always weird for me. Let's see. I can't use that.
Yeah, I just stick with my ghost. It's like, that's what I've been using. So. And like, hopefully, like, nobody cringes on it. Of course.
I just did.
Yeah. So... As soon as I say something,
I couldn't find like a soul for Soulstorm, so that's as close as I got.
Yeah, I don't think there's soul emoji. There's like tombstones and zombies and stuff, and you could be like Soulless, but not a soul.
2, 3, 5, 9, 10 All votes in, I guess. Is that right? Or are we missing one?
I mean, I think regardless, Jet Force Gemini is the winner.
Seems that way.
Well, Javi could vote twice for Ninja Gaiden Sigma.
We could.
Who?
Yeah, I mean, we could say it's possibly Jet Force Gemini until Javi votes, and then we'll go from there, but yeah.
All right.
So you heard it first. It will probably be Jet Force Gemini, unless it isn't.
it would take some serious 2020 election stealing in order for this to happen. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be Jet Force Gemini. That is also from the PS2 era, is that right?
No, it's NC4.
Oh, God, it's even older. What have you done?
Yeah, no, it's on the Rare Replay Collection.
Yes.
So.
Oh, okay.
You can play it like on a newer system.
So with achievements.
You don't need a Nintendo 64.
With achievements, yes.
Oh, okay. Don't worry. Papa's going to get his fix.
Yeah, like unless Javi votes twice for something, then we have to have a tiebreaker. But otherwise...
I mean, if we can vote twice for something, I'm just going to go back and remove my Oddworld vote and go back to twice for Jet Force Gemini.
I mean, either way.
Okay, so if Javi votes twice for Ninja Gaiden, then Marcus is removing his vote for, and he'll vote for Jet Force Gemini. So I think we're playing Jet Force Gemini then.
That sounds right.
I was kind of curious in Oddworld, Soulstorm, because I have never played any of those games, but I've heard about them, and they seem like they're pretty cool games.
Oh yeah, I really like them. Like, I don't know if you heard the term cinematic platformer. That's kind of where they fall into stuff like Another World. Flashback. Oh, wait, no, yeah, those are two different games. I was thinking they might have been the same game. Stuff like that. it's really cool, but yeah, it's definitely like it's got some puzzle elements.
Yeah,
the platforming is really light. So
I remember playing it like the PS1 versions. I mean, maybe it's just because I was a dumb kid with a non-developed brain, but like that also felt like it had some obscure solutions to what you needed to do.
No, it absolutely does.
Yeah, I always thought the original games were kind of like lemmings, because aren't you like the only smart person in this like entourage of people, and you're kind of telling everybody where else to go?
You're trying to rescue them, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. They will get themselves killed if you just stop them or whatever.
Completely stupid.
I don't know if Abe's smart either, though. Have you seen that guy?
He was employee of the month.
Oh.
All right, so Jet Force Gemini will probably be our game for the next recording. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. I hope you have a wonderful day, and catch you later.
Bye.